Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Rick Mahn is locked and loaded on today's news talk radio, TNT.
Okay, I hope you're all enjoying the show today. It's Friday, the 18th of November, 2022. Had a great conversation with Natalie Cheel, as always. She's a star, and she's been coming on here on Locked and Loaded pretty much every Friday morning since around about the end of January, give or take a week. So she's really consistent, and she's really faithful, and she's a big supporter of TNT, and it's great. It's good to talk to her. She's got her head screwed on, and she's very savvy when it comes to observing what's happening in the world at the minute. So that's Natalie Cheel, and you can connect with her. Unfortunately, she's off Twitter, but she's on Truth Social, I think. And also she has a Substack, World of NC, W-O-R-L-D, World of NC on Substack.com. Check her out. She writes, she posts, giving her insights on what's happening in the world at the moment. Later on this hour, I'm going to be joined by my old buddy, Seek for Truth, Indy, from the UK, and we're going to be looking at what's been happening over at the G20 and some of the wider ranging implications for what they've been discussing there, how it might affect us in our everyday lives, what to watch out for. Some news items that are making the headlines today, an investigation against the Biden family is being launched by the Republicans. The President of the United States, they say, we have uncovered many crimes. These include conspiracy to defraud the United States, violation of FARA, and human trafficking. So they're not pulling any punches with this. Whether or not it goes to a full investigation and whatever the findings of that investigation are, if they're followed up, I don't know. But at least they're calling it out on a platform, the things that the mainstream media are afraid to say. The Republican Party is calling it out. Turbo cancer sounds horrendous, and it is. Your gift from mRNA vaccine-induced turbo cancer T-cell lymphomas progressing at rapid rates. GPs and oncologists, specialists in cancer, are commenting how many people are coming now to see them, and they already have stage 4 cancer, not stage 1, as would the majority of people have if they have, you know, a lump or an irregularity in bowel movements or whatever it happens to be, on dizziness or pain in their back. They're now coming and being diagnosed with stage 4 cancers, which many of the times are not treatable, or if they are treatable, they're done very invasively and very aggressively. So turbo cancer is a possible side effect from mRNA injections. This is just another part of the horror show that we are currently experiencing. In Ireland, a County Kerry Member of Parliament has asked the Taoiseach, or the Prime Minister, why modular homes are not being built for Irish people, and said that some people have been on the housing list in Killarney for up to 16 years. So basically what he's saying is the massive amount of people that have been brought in from overseas, unvetted, unvaccinated, you name it, they're just landing in Dublin and then being dispersed throughout Ireland. In Killarney, there are modular homes being constructed for them because there's nowhere to put them. And this gentleman rightly brings up Danny Healy Ray, his name is. He asks, where are the modular homes for our own people? Of course, the Taoiseach will not be able to answer that because they don't exist. They don't exist. Something else that is making the headlines, Safe Blood hardliners want to set up unvaccinated blood banks. Medics say that growing numbers of people are asking for transfusions of unvaccinated blood. And just as a side note to that, next week, let me see what day it's going to be. Next week on Tuesday morning, at 9 a.m. UK time, I'll have Rob Hutchinson back on from South Africa. He runs Dear South Africa. He and I have been chatting about this concept of blood banks for unvaccinated people. And I'm sorry to say, but if I am receiving a blood transfusion, I would feel a lot more comfortable receiving it from someone that I know's blood had not been infected or polluted with mRNA gene therapy treatments from Pfizer and Co. So this is something that's starting to spring up more. The talk is starting to spring up more. It could end up as an actual enterprise. So these are all things to bear in mind going into the weekend. We have an app that's available on the App Store, on the Google Play Store. If you go on there and search for TNT Radio, you should be able to find it. I encourage you to download it and check out our merch store also. Coming up to Christmas, you can buy gifts for your loved ones or even treat yourself to some quality merchandise courtesy of TNT Radio.
Bringing you a world view.
I like to hear what's going on around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, also known as the FDA, have approved a lab-grown meat product as safe for human consumption, making it the first to receive a preliminary green light from the regulator. We touched on it earlier with Sonia, but I'm saving this story to really get my teeth into, no pun intended, with Jeremy Beck. Jeremy, how are you?
Yeah, great, Rick. It's quite an alarming story, really. I mean, they call it cultivated chicken. Well, this is the particular product that they're looking at right now. Who knows? They might have cultivated lamb or cultivated beef or whatever. But the product has been declared safe to eat, though approval for sale is pending. In a statement released on Wednesday, the FDA explained that it had found no safety issues with manufacturer Upside Foods' manufacturing process, but this does not mean that the product can be sold on the open market just yet. The unnamed product, manufactured by Upside Foods, uses animal cell culture technology to take living cells from chickens and grow the cells in a controlled environment to make the cultivated animal cell food, the FDA stated. It is apparently a coherent tissue of chicken cells similar to the composition and nutritional characteristics to conventional poultry products. The company Upside Foods acknowledges potential unintended effects of genetic engineering, as well as possible contamination with microorganisms or zoonotic viruses as potential hazards inherent in the manufacturing process, but reassures the FDA it has the procedures in place to test for these. Now, Rick, Upside Foods was actually called Memphis Meats, and it just rebranded itself in the last year. But it was founded in 2015, and it is funded by billionaires, including Microsoft founder Bill Gates and Virgin founder Richard Branson, as well as Kimball Musk, brother of Elon Musk, who's the I'm sure people know, is the richest man in the world. So with all these people funding it, I'm not too sure that I want it. I want to stay well clear.
No, that's a very good point. You know, you've got to follow the, they say you should follow the money trail back to its source. And ultimately, of course, this is being, this product is being brought to market, not just to fill a gap or to bring a new product to market, but it's obviously to make investors rich. Nobody's investing in this for charity. They're not doing it for the betterment of mankind. So somebody's trying to make a buck out of it somewhere. And as you've rightly said, if you trace it back through Upside Meats or Upside Foods, Memphis Meats, you find this trinity, this unholy trinity of backers, which is Bill Gates, Richard Branson, and also Elon Musk's brother, Kimball, I think you said his name was. What kind of a name's that, by the way? It sounds like that little thing you read those electronic books on online, Kindle Musk or Kimball Musk. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be in a rush to run out and buy a Kimball Musk burger, would you?
No way. because, look, I'm not a Luddite. I like technology, and for a long time I've thought, you know, that's the way society has progressed, and we look at new things. But now I'm starting to wonder, because the people in control of new technologies, they're evil people. I mean, these people, you know, fair enough, if you want to try an mRNA new technology so-called vaccine, well, go ahead, try. But they're trying to force it on everyone, whether you like it or not. And you know, if you don't take it, you won't have your job. And when they go down that path, I think, no way, they're pure evil. I'm not going anywhere near anything, any one of these billionaires from the World Economic Forum. If they push this kind of crap, I don't want it.
No, you make a good point there too about, you know, I have no problem, by the way, if some warped individual wants to try and grow fake synthetic meat in a lab, put it in a package and sell it at my local supermarket. If they want to do that, let them. I won't be going anywhere near it. But they're touting this as the replacement for proper beef and chickens and fish and so on and so forth. They're taking away that option there, or that availability of choice. And as you said, you know, you want the choice of having an mRNA vaccine. You don't want to be told that you have to have it to work. It's the same thing with these dodgy synthetic meat products. There are some crazy folk out there that would be only too happy to eat them, I'm sure. And if that's the case, let them do it. But don't expect you and I to filter down to the supermarket and join the queue for some lab-grown beef or lamb or pig or pork or whatever it happens to be at the time. It's repulsive, and quite frankly, it looks disgusting. I don't know if you've seen that stuff or not, but it looks horrendous.
Yes, well, I just shudder to think that the people behind this fake meat are really behind eugenics and behind population control. I mean, Bill Gates, you know, one of the founders of Memphis Meats, now Upside Foods, Bill Gates has been on record saying that he sees that we have too many people in the world. As far as I know, he said, you know, even a billion would be too many, or some crazy thing that he said once in the past. And these people, these globalists, they think that, you know, you can use vaccines to reduce the population. I've seen some of the quotes of these people.
Now, they don't make any secret about it, by the way. They don't make any secret about that. They say the way to reduce the world's population is through vaccines. That's Bill Gates himself. And people don't seem to be able to quit that, the fact that he has a massive depopulation agenda. He wants to reduce the world's population from 8 billion to around about 500 million. And in his words, he's going to use vaccines to do it. Yeah, and people are still running out to take the same damn vaccines. It's a clown world out there, isn't it, Jeremy?
Yeah, so what if they put something in this meat? Who knows the way they'll produce it? You know, who knows what is going to be in it? Is this only going to be fed to the commoners, while the elite globalists will still eat their, you know, meat grown, you know, chickens with feathers, lamb with wool, rather than in a lab? Maybe the elite will eat all that organic food grown naturally and feed the plebs, us, the genetically modified lab grown meat designed to keep us in control and kill us off.
The I don't know if you've seen the menu or not. Somebody posted up pictures of the menu of the G20 that's currently happening at the minute, where they're all getting together and hobnobbing. There was no artificial meat on the menu, and there certainly weren't any bugs. It was the finest of Wagyu steaks, Japanese Wagyu beef and lobster and you name it, and they had it. It wasn't the muck that you're being shown. And by the way, for your own interest, if you get bored some evening, go to the World Economic Forum's website and look up synthetic food, and it will actually show you them growing fake fish fillets in a laboratory on this little mesh thing that they put these doctored cells onto, and then like they 3D print it. It's unbelievable, but they're not hiding it, Jeremy. They're not hiding how they're making it, and they're not hiding why they're doing it. It's out there in plain sight, you know, which is part of the whole strategy for this whole globalist takeover. They're making no secret about it. Hell, Klaus Schwab even wrote a book called The Great Reset and outlined in it everything he's going to do, and he's just simply going from chapter to chapter executing his plan, and no one's batting an eyelid.
Exactly right, Rick. And I actually purchased that book on Kindle. just to see what it had to say, because I'm curious to quote them in their own words, because you look at it and you don't have to make anything up. It's not a conspiracy theory. This is a book by Klaus Schwab, COVID-19, The Great Reset. Read it for yourself. See what he has to say. And not only that book, he's written several other books on the fourth industrial revolution. Read those books too. Quote them. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is reality. And if people don't wake up soon, we will be totally controlled and there'll be no return. We can't go back to normal because they won't let us get back to normal unless we fight back now while we have the opportunity, Rick.
Yeah, and especially when they're thinking about culling whole herds, like in Australia, they're injecting beef with mRNA shots to stop foot and mouth disease. They're actually locking down birds. Believe it or not, there's a current bird lockdown in England at the moment for poultry to stop the spread of bird flu in some places. They're actually keeping free-range chickens in a coop because they think that will prevent transmission the way it did with human beings. They're going down the same route with animals, as they have done with us over the last few years. And of course, that is to depopulate us and to thin us out, as it were, and maybe even to make us extinct. So yeah, it's a good story that. I'm glad you brought it up. It's something that's very relevant, and no doubt we haven't seen the end of it. So Jeremy, thank you for all your input this week. I've really appreciated it. Hope you have a really good weekend. That's Jeremy Beck. I'm Rick Munn, and we'll be back after these ads with Seek for Truth. Please don't go away.
TNT Radio's Lynn Shaw.
Let's face it, we live in a digital world and it's not going away. We live in, actually, I call it a TikTok world. Now that they're the number one platform, they will be going up against Amazon. They're going to create the TikTok shop. So while our kids are spending upwards of 11, 12 hours a day, did you hear that, Warriors? 11, 12 hours a day. I don't know how the kids, they have to go to school, eat, sleep. This is an addiction. And now they're going to have shopping so they can swipe and they can spend money. That is why parents and caregivers, and this is not to blame, all of this is a runaway train that has been going on since the internet hit the ground in 1996. And it's the genie out of the bottle, and it's that runaway train, and the law always lags behind technology. That is why it is important for each and every one of you to know what's going on. Very simple. Sit down with your kids for 5 minutes a day. You got to start somewhere. 5 minutes, all right? We know everybody's busy. This is the number one crime. It must be addressed. Talk to them. What platforms are you on? What apps are you using? Do you talk to strangers? It's got to start somewhere. I can't urge more.
Lynn's Warriors with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Some children don't have what other children have. Some children don't get regular meals. Some children don't have a place to live. Some children don't have a safe place to go to sleep. All until something changed. Someone cared. Someone cared enough to give them a chance. A healthy meal. Someone cared enough to give them a safe home. Cared enough to give them a warm bed. Someone foster cared. Truth is, there's lots of kids in need and not enough care. If you're ready to be the care in foster care, call Barnardo's on 1800 663 441. Because every child needs a champion.
This is where you get your daily ration of high-velocity conversation. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, I'm very happy. Always very happy. I don't think I've ever had a guest on to say I'm not very happy to see this person again. No, I'm very, and I mean it, by the way. I'm happy to see all my guests. I hand-select them. I stalk them on the internet. I research them. I dig up little tidbits about them. Then I blackmail them to come on to Locked and Loaded. And this guy is no exception. Indy, a.k.a. Seek for Truth, is back in the house again today. You can follow him on Twitter, at Seek, S-I-K-H, at Seek for Truth, okay? And also on the truthtalk.uk website. He is a savvy, let me say, a savvy observer and commentator on the state of play in the world at the moment, focusing in on this fourth industrial revolution business that Jeremy Beck was referencing, and the great reset and digital currencies, etc. We're going to have a little bit of a roundup today on what's been going on this week, because a lot's been going on this week. But before we get down to bones, more importantly, How are you doing, my friend? How the hell are you doing?
I've been really unwell, actually. I've had a cold. I've had a flu since last Monday. I'm just trying to shake it off. I wasn't bedbound or anything, but, you know, it was sort of affecting. It's just aches and pains and, you know, lots of brain fog. You know, my brain is not in the right place at the moment. So I'm kind of all over the place. And at the same time, I've been trying to work as hard as I can and push myself as hard as I can to try and get this website up and running. And we've been working to the early hours of the morning and all sorts, you know, writing articles, working with contributors, trying to get the new website to a standard where, you know, it's functional, it's usable. So yeah, it's I've been good apart from that, but working hard.
Well, I'm getting it. I'm coming down that path. I feel myself. I've been moaning all morning about my throat. Yeah. I'm on painkillers. I've banked the Nurofen, the paracetamol into me, the honey down my neck. I'm trying to drink water, but I can't stop ranting and raving anyway, and I'm going to suffer for it when the show's over today, but I don't care because we need to get the point across, and I think you have that same mindset mentality. You might be a little under the weather, you might have a little bit of brain fog, but the show must go on because Klaus doesn't take time off and Bill doesn't take time off, so damn it, we're not going to take any time off either. It's onwards and upwards for us, my friend. Tell us about this project. I've had a little sneak preview of your website, thetruthtalk.uk. It looks very tasty indeed. There's going to be an awful lot of information available on there. What's the focus? What's the focus of that website? Why are you rebranding it? Why are you rejigging it now? What's the big deal? What's so important about now?
So for the past year and a half, I've been contributing and writing to the Truth Talk website. A little while ago, Toby put me in charge. So Toby is like the publisher, the founder of, and he's the one who seeded the idea of a collaborative website that would, you know, be a counter narrative to the mainstream, mainstream media news. Uh-huh. And so I became the editor, so obviously writing my own articles, anything that interests me. I mean, I don't really have a set topic, but, you know, it's whatever is going on in the background in terms of the sinister apps, the tech, the digital identity, the vaccine passports. So we started to write a lot and then also contribute, build up a portfolio of information and articles. But now what we've done is over the past couple of, or certainly over the past month since I last spoke to you on the 6th of October, I've been working very hard in the background, working on polishing off those video edits I was working on. So all the video edits I produced this year, trying to get them all finished off, get them to a high standard so they'll be incorporated into the website. The website, we had a view that it would be a lot more multimedia focused, a lot more original content, things that make us, you know, for the things that we do. And so a lot of these video edits we do is like they're snippets of the truth, you know, the snippets of people speaking their truth and, you know, and also enlightening, bringing people up to a good vibrational level. So that's the elements. But yeah, I mean, we've gone from, we've done a lot of design in the background, so I've had to sort of understand website development. So that's a new skill that I've got on my CV now, website developer, as well as a propaganda minister. And Tim Hinchcliffe now calls me the wizard, pulling the strings behind the scenes. This is a really exciting project. I'm very happy to be involved with Truth Talk. And so we've gone from 144 articles to 500. And we've also expanded our subject areas, our much broader range. So we cover transhumanism, fourth industrial revolution, central bank digital currencies, climate agenda, obviously the whole vaccine passport stuff is rearing its ugly head back up again. But yeah, I mean, how that ties in with the economy, with like the universal basic income. So not only the broader range of subjects, but we've also got a whole raft of authors, writers who are 100% behind me, who are supporting me and supporting Truth Talk. So we've got Amy Mech. We've got obviously David Nolan, Jesse Smith, True from Muted. We've got Karen Hunt. She's come back into the wing. She's writing. She'll be writing some fresh original new pieces for us. We've also got obviously Orwell Huxley's Ghost. Tim Hinchcliffe is very happy to provide his information. And this collaborative piece is now happening. So we're bouncing ideas between each other. We're becoming a group. We're becoming a foundation to get the information across, to enlighten, to have a platform for people to have their pieces and investigative pieces, original pieces, but we're also bringing in some aggregated news. So I am working, I'm asking other people if I can host their material on our website to bolster that. So yeah, we've not only got that, we've got the videos, we've got the streams, we've got the appearances. So it's basically a big ball platform of all our material, you know.
Do you know what? In all honesty, I don't have anywhere that I go to at the minute that sort of fits the description of what you're about to launch. And what I mean is, if I'm trying to get news articles or do a little bit of research, I'll go to occasional websites like Truth Unmuted, or I'll go to Tim Hinchcliffe's Sociable. And also, of course, Truth Talk's been going for some time, but the depth has really expanded now. You're bringing in the multimedia. And in all honesty, and I'm not just saying this because I know you, and I know Tim, and I know David, and I know Angela as well, and also Karen, and all the contributors, Jesse Smith. They're all fantastic people. So listeners, and all joking aside, I would highly recommend that when this thing is fully operational, that your go-to place for all this multimedia stuff and in-depth breakdowns and written pieces on all these topics that Seekers just outlined, that you would do worse, much worse than go to truthtalk.uk. So that's a big endorsement, genuine big endorsement. So after you finish listening to me every day, get your asses over onto truthtalk.uk and put the old icing on the cake, as it were, and the cherry on top of the icing. Yes, I thoroughly endorse it. I'm looking forward to it actually being, you know, fully functional. You've got some tasty merch on there as well. We've got some merch on our website, but I have my eye on a Truth Talk t-shirt. Let me just say that I'll be buying one of those as soon as they become available. Tasty, very tasty.
Yeah, the website is running. It is operational. It's pretty good. It's slick. Uh-huh. It's beautiful. You've got video backgrounds. It's very user friendly. Toby is priority is to get the shopping basket on next. I think we should do that before the year is out. But then we also have projects, so we have more collaborative pieces, more, and maybe even setting up some podcasts between ourselves, between the authors, so we can set the stage and we can have them recorded and posted to the website also and streamed. But even like next year, we may even start doing some TV studio type work. But yeah, I mean, next year is going to be interesting as well. But yeah, this is now the base platform, so this is what we're all going to be working from.
Brilliant. And I think you're right. Next year, you're putting the foundations in for to build on next year, because this business that you're covering isn't going away anywhere. It's not regressing. It's not going. It's not disappearing and becoming less prevalent. If anything, the globalists are upping their game, and therefore so must you, and therefore so must we on TNT Radio. We're expanding. We're looking at other avenues to try and get messages out and other things that we'll branch into. I think next year, my friend, 2023 is going to be a big year for a lot of wrong reasons, but also for some good reasons as well. So lastly, before we move on and take a little news break, truthtalk.uk, dead simple. You can't forget that one, truthtalk.uk. Check it out and avail of all the info and all the research that's been done and uploaded there. These guys have been working their asses off to do it, and I can vouch for, I'm trying to think of who I can't vouch for that contributes to you, but I can vouch for them all. They're a decent bunch all together. Support them as you're supporting ourselves into 2023. So we're going to take a quick news break, literally 45 seconds. When we come back, I want to look at some of the fallout from the G20, some of the other shenanigans that's going on in the world at the minute that you've been covering this week here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
Taking a look at your TNT Radio news headlines, I'm Darren Metzer. U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has announced she will step down after 2 decades as the Democratic Party's leader in the chamber. A Dutch court has found three men guilty of murder for shooting down a passenger jet over eastern Ukraine in 2014, killing 298 people on flight MH17. And UK Chancellor Jeremy Hunt has vowed to restore the country's fiscal reputation with new taxes and spending cuts as the country plunges into recession.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, this G20 business, interesting one. There's a lot of so-called elected representatives there, world leaders, the G20. But we're also finding people like Klaus Schwab is weighed in there. We see Bill Gates there. They're not elected. But then again, I suppose the argument could be neither is Rishi Sunak, who's our current prime minister. He's not elected either. He's there. And it's a bizarre spectacle. They're dressed up like little Star Trek characters, and maybe they had a fancy dress dinner. They had a mock-up of the Starship Enterprise. It was bizarre. They're all walking around making phone calls to Vladimir Zelensky. I don't know if you've seen that one or not. Justin Trudeau and Rishi Sunak. There's no one on the telephone line, by the way. You don't actually hear Zelensky's voice. He says, "Hi, Vladimir. It's Justin and Rishi here, just letting you know we're thinking about you." What's going on? Are they starting to lose the plot themselves, or what? Are they too far up their own asses at the minute, or what do you make of all this G20 business?
Oh, it's just complete baloney, isn't it? It's just
isn't it?
it's a spectacle. I mean, they're making themselves look like idiots, and that's what they are. These globalists. I mean, not globalists. They're supposedly our representatives, the people's representative country at a country level. But I mean, for the past month, we had the IMF meeting. Not too sure where that one was, but there was some meaty stuff that came out regarding the IMF and central bank digital currencies. Then we had the COP27 gathering, which there's other stuff came out of that. Then back to back with that, we had the B20, which is the business 20, which influences the G20 meeting. So at the B20, I was surprised. I was shocked to see Klaus Schwab. I saw that clip on Twitter. Someone posted it up, and I'm like, oh, I need to find out what's going on here. And yeah, he was an honorary keynote speaker, and he was the first person to speak at the Business 20. It was a 7-minute long video clip, and he came up on stage. He walked up on stage, got a massive, round of applause and revered. But yeah, he spoke about structural. Deep systemic and structural restructuring of our world. And he's saying, that we're going through this transition period now. The world will look completely different once we've finished. But it's all about this sustainable agenda, this climate agenda, ecological, mm-hmm. and also economic. And he spoke about, having to restructure country. Well, when you restructure a company, you write off all the debts. He spoke about this, and the shareholders not very happy. As an example, he said this. But if you restructure a country, people have less disposable income. So he was giving lots of clues, lots of mystical, futuristic, cryptic messages within that speech. And people took it very different ways. I mean, I cut the video up, put it into four different sections, put it on the Twitter. That's been doing the rounds this week. But yeah, I mean, this is the head, the founder of the World Economic Forum, very influential figure. I agree with your comment. This basically turned into another Davos, didn't it?
Like an extension of Davos. It was like a mop-up session, they call it, and in business, management, like they talk about mop-up sessions where they cover things they didn't get quite covering in the main session. And by the way, that piece that you've referenced there, if you check out Sikh's Twitter account, which is at Sikh, S-I-K-H for truth, he's broken it down. It's actually into five pieces, but I'm not going to split hairs with you about that one. So that's from the B20. And in a way, here's the thing, actually. It was good that he went there. It was actually good that he went there, because he very succinctly said in a 7-minute clip, he outlined with no frills and no backdoors what they were moving towards. And ironically, Sikh, and I think this is part of the strategy, the old adage of hidden in plain sight, he makes no secret of the way he wants the world to go. The World Economic Forum website, if you check it out, weforum.org, everything that we talk about that people dismiss as lunacy is on there with little video clips, 2 minutes long, a little bit of xylophone music going on in the background and some nice simple graphics. They have put it all out there on a stall. The Fourth Industrial Revolution books that he has written, he wrote a book called The Great Reset. Now he's coming and speaking at the G20 succinctly. You've broken it down and analyzed it. There's no back doors with these people. They're brazen in their audacity and their contempt for us. Who the hell do they think they are?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, the kind of stuff that I was writing, I was thinking to myself, hang on, this is very conspiratorial. This is very niche. But over the past couple of years, you know, everything that, I mean, we're just quoting what they've said. And the reactions I'm getting from this tweet and these video clips and also other people have uploaded the same sort of material is the biggest message that I'm getting back from the general public, Joe Public, is that, this is all true. This is what, you know, this is what's happening. There is a transition process going on and it is going to take several years, and it has to do with this technology, with these digital identities, these fourth industrial revolution technologies, very very tied, very closely tied to this climate agenda now. So it's all synced up. He also said technology is going to change. Is going to change who we are. He said this, it's not only going to change the way we do things, it's going to change the way, change what we are. And he gave the references of how the internet changed social communication, websites. And so the next set of technologies, which is a basket of 23 technologies, and some of them have quantum and 5G and 3D printing and all this sort of stuff. But that's going to an implantable technology. So the world is fast moving, and you know he's not going to be here to see the next sort of what it will be like in the next revolution. So these globalists are revering. They're bringing it in. They're bringing the changes in. You've got like Rishi Sunak, you've got Trudeau, all buddies. The image I'm getting is these are just sock puppets. They're not really in charge. They're just representatives for organizations like the IMF, like the BIS, Bank of International Settlements, like the World Economic Forum. But there's a whole panoply of string pullers in the background that Joe Public never actually ever sees, and that's the stuff that we try and research into to see what are the connections between these organizations. And the G20 has a lot of clout, globally, top 20 countries.
When you see the G7, and then you extrapolate it out to the G20 and the B20 and all, progressively bigger groups of these people that are gathered together, you're just seeing the front men. As you rightly say, there's people that are pulling their strings, and the people that are pulling their strings, there's other people pulling theirs, and you can really trace it all back to banking. Okay, you can really trace it all back to banking and control. The one thing that I've noticed is, Schwab, the audacity of the man, he's very assumptive in his words. Now, I used to be in sales. I used to be a salesman back in the day, quite a successful salesman, I might add, in financial services. And I was very fond of what was called an assumptive close on a deal, right? So I would come out to you, explain to you the mechanisms of what was doing. And rather than saying, "Seek, what do you think about that? Seek, what are your thoughts on that?" I said, "Right, Seek, we're going to set this up. Just get me your bank details, etc. You go ahead and do that. I'll just assume the audacity. I'll just assume that you're going to go ahead and do it. Why wouldn't you at the end of the day?" And a lot of people closed the deal that way. They were like, "I'm not really sure about that, but he told me I had to go and get my details. I'm going to just do it." That is the way Schwab is. He stands and he pontificates. and he outlines what's going to happen as if it's a done deal, as if it's going to happen, as if there's no other alternative, as if he is actually responsible for calling the shots on what happens in the world stage. You've got to admire the audacity of the man. I detest him wholly. But the arrogance, that's one of the reasons why they're in the position they're in now. They just assume that everybody's going to go along with it and that they are the authorities on everything. And a lot of people are just scratching their heads going, well, we don't really know who they are. But, you know, he seems to know what he's talking about. He's got all these backers and he's at the G20 and people just sucker along with it. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, like over the past few years, I think more and more people are waking up to the, especially COVID. I think that was a blessing in disguise because you could see through the whole the agenda and then sub agendas and, you know, the whole vaccine passports, digital identity, now central bank digital currencies. So, and I mean, and then you had the Ukraine war and then we're going to have something else. And so there's so all these isolated events, they might seem like they've got nothing to do with each other, but they, if you put them all together, then you realize that they're all part of this agenda, which is actually, you know, which is about reshaping, which is about this transitioning that Klaus Schwab has talked about. Now, whether the WEF is, the World Economic Forum is now just not necessarily driving those, but using those world events to then drive their own policies forward, like this net green, you know, net zero, we shouldn't be, you know, sort of driving, eating less meat and you know, being more, you know, bio-sustainable and stuff. I mean, some of those elements have good purposes, but there's a surveillance agenda at the back of it now as well. So you're right. I think a lot of this, people on social media say, well, it's a social credit system, everything's moving towards China. But I mean, it is, and that's, is maybe, is that a natural progression anyway? Is that what we're, you know, is that the path that we're on with AI, you know, taking over more and more of our jobs? I mean, we don't know. But I mean, like, you know, as a social commentator and trying to follow these things and trying to piece things together, you're right. I think the economic outlook, you know, especially with the budget yesterday, and now banks are taking more and more, well, the banks around the world are actually, you know, developing new technologies with these digital coupons, these tokens. And I can't help feel that the banks are now driving this net zero, this carbon footprint agenda as well. So there's various banks in Australia which are linking individual customer transactions to their carbon footprint to say, look, this is how many units it is. And then you'll also get like messages on your phone to say, look, you know, you shouldn't be buying this. You should, rather than buying from a top shop, you can buy it from a charity shop. You know, you save this much carbon. So everything's going towards like the a detailed transactional level carbon footprint, social credit system, nudging. And even the UK, well, it's not a UK government anymore, but it's a unit within the UK. It's called the Nudge Unit. It's the Behavioral Science Unit. And they were, you know, sort of prominent in the COVID, couple of years in COVID, around their sort of, you know, their messaging and stuff. Now there, the Nudge Unit is working with UK banks to implement a social carbon credit system to make, you know, to ensure customers are doing the right things, buying the right products, you know, more sustainable products and stuff like this. And this is all, you know, this is all this is all going on under our noses, and it's it's not really been you know, spoken about. And even this whole energy stuff, so we're in a, you know, bills are going to go higher now. So you've got these energy apps coming into the UK, well, these energy companies. So now you are encouraged not to use energy during peak times between seven, you know, 5 and 7. And if you do, you get penalized, your data's scraped anyway. And then if you do not use your appliances during peak time, you'll get vouchers, you know, you'll get top ups. You know, you've been a good citizen, you know, and your bills will be
reduced. It's conditioning. It's conditioning, and as you say, it's nudging. They're not dropping this on our head in one big blob. They're introducing it incrementally. And even if they have to take a hit, as long as they're making progress, two steps forward, then they get resistance, so they take a step back, then two steps forward, then maybe two steps back. If they go from point A to B between two time frames, they are making progress. There's no two ways about it. I want to look at some of the progress that they are making. We've got to take a real quick ad break here, and when we come back, we'll look at the effects of these nudge units and how effective they actually are, because you got to give it to them. I always doff my hat. They have a great strategy. They're working their plan, and they've planned their work, and by God, they're getting results. So, you know, like it or not, they know what the hell they're doing. So let's look at their evil, wicked schemes when we come back after these ads here on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Who in their right mind would vote against a referendum called the Born Alive Infant Protection Act? The answer is the voters of Montana, who defeated the measure 52% to 47%. So now the question becomes why? The act would have required medical professionals to perform life-saving medical care on infants who survived abortions or were born prematurely. Quoting from the bill, a healthcare provider performing an abortion shall take all medically appropriate and reasonable steps to preserve the life and health of a born alive infant who is viable. So how can that get voted down? Well, the head of the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America blamed misleading TV ads run by pro-abortion forces for characterizing the initiative as an extreme, harmful government intrusion into medical care, when all the initiative would do is provide the same level of care to an infant who survived an abortion as you would give to an infant born early in pregnancy. If Montana voters knew the truth about what the initiative would actually do, it would have passed, they said. So the radical left wins again, and this time at the expense of babies born alive of botched abortions. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Childhood slavery. Proudly supporting a greener world. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, I was having a little period of reflection yesterday. Okay, it was actually triggered by something that came up in Tim Hinchliffe's feed. As you know, he's been writing feverishly for years on The Sociable. And I happened to have a little browse through some of his output going back 2 years, 3 years. And, you know, you touched on it yourself in your own writings. You stopped and you sort of looked at it and went, it's a bit conspiratorial here. Maybe I'll come across as some kind of a weird, cranky type person. But, you know, you did what you did, so did Tim. And with the benefit of hindsight, it was bang on the money. Bang on the money. So as ludicrous as some of the things that we're talking about now are, eating bugs, not driving a car, having penalties for being a bad carbon type citizen, it's the stuff of sci-fi Arnold Schwarzenegger movies from the 80s, but all the other sci-fi Arnold Schwarzenegger movies from the 80s are all coming to pass or have come to pass. So this nudge thing, and you mentioned the Australian banks, you know, NatWest are doing it in the UK at the minute. They will tell you that they're opting you into this scheme. You can opt out of it. It's not mandatory at this time. And there's even an option with some banks to actually pay money to offset your carbon footprint. And there are mugs out there that will actually take their money, their cash, after Jeremy Hunt has banged them for tax on it, and say, yes, NatWest, there's 50 quid out of my salary. It'll make me feel good. I'm a virtue signaler. They'll probably put it on their Twitter profile and feel like $1 million for it. That's the level of people we're dealing with at the minute. This is the problem. It's the people, not the bloody globalists.
Yeah, so people are obviously going along with payments, monitoring of our transactions. But I think there was an article that came out a few weeks ago. There's a Dutch proposal to monitor all payments over 100 euros, which would open the door for unprecedented mass surveillance. Now, if you take these carbon apps, these NatWests. And so that's one of the things. It's one of the banks who are trialing this. I think there's an Ulster Bank. There's a lot of banks, about 20 banks that have this carbon footprint tracking on your transactions. But then when you look at the other aspect of this, is these central bank digital currencies, which are in the pipeline, which were projected to go live in the next couple of years. If you then tie in the CBDCs into your wallet now, so that's complete control, because the CBDCs won't actually work for these high carbon products. So even if you wanted to buy them, you won't get a notification on your app to say, you know, you shouldn't be buying this, you just won't be able to buy this. You know, so these central bank coupons will be highly tied into this, this carbon tracking. Which is the kind of stuff that Tim has been writing about and covering, and some of these people, the International Monetary Fund said, we can control everything using smart contracts. So you know, uh-huh. we can gain the information about who you're buying from, who you're transacting with, what the carbon structure is, you know, what, how sustainable those products are, and it sounds scary, but when we're actually in this place, it may become quite normalized and quite normal to have those limits on your spending. This is the whole programmability about having these new currencies. I think the US are currently doing a pilot. So there's news that comes through on a daily basis regarding all of this. And then you've got the UK actually talking about some of the ministers have put forward a plan for a universal basic income, which they're trialing in a place near Newcastle. So everyone gets a standard payment. To help with their cost of living crisis, so uh-huh. that's kind of tied up in how are they going to deliver that, control that, there's lots of moving parts in the jigsaw at the moment.
There's one thing actually. Okay, let me say this. This is the most disturbing thing of all. The events of the last few years were justified by saying that for your health, to protect your grandmother, to keep you alive, to stop the spread of a disease, we're going to do A, B, and C. We're going to lock places down. We're going to keep you in your house. You can only go out for an hour a day. You can't go more than 5 kilometers away. You can't come into here unless you've had a vaccine, and so on and so forth. So they said, it's for your protection we're doing this. That's why we're doing it, for your protection. It's hard to argue against that, isn't it, really? So when you go into a bank, okay, and the bank is now asking, and they do. I mean, like I don't do a lot of online banking. I have a business banking account, and when I want to move anything from it into my current account, they ask me. They won't let me do it unless I tell them why I'm doing it. And there's a suite of drop-down options. I'm paying a bill. I'm gifting it to a friend. I'm moving it to another one of my accounts. I just simply can't move it unless I tell them what I'm doing it for. And it says, if you have a problem, speak to an operator. And then they'll ask me the same thing, and they will not let me proceed unless I tell them. There's people now going into branches, and they're being told that unless you tell me you want £500, Sig, okay, why? It's none of your damn business, Rick. Well, actually, it's for your protection and to stop you from being scammed. And because we don't want to see you being defrauded, we're not going to release this unless you can tell me and convince me you're doing what you say you're going to do. Now, you can kick off all you like. You can stand there and rant and rave in the branch all you like and bang your fists and stomp up and down and say, it's my money, I can do whatever I want. They'll just counter it with, excuse me, sir, it's for your own protection. And that just nullifies every argument that you can throw it their way, even though you're bang on and right. And sadly, this CBDC, the digital ID, for your protection. We have to be able to verify who you are, who you say you are, for your protection. Look at the crypto, look at FTX. Do you want that to happen to your money? We have to regulate it. We have to control it for your protection. For your protection. Yes, for your protection.
I mean, if you, I've been listening to the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, from what came out of the World Economic Forum earlier in March, April this year. They said that there's only going to be one winner in this currency battle, and it won't be crypto. It will be the central bank's own version, because they want control. And it will, you know, they'll have these smart contracts. It will be centralized. It will also be connected to everything you do with the net zero agenda. So you know, they've already come out, and that's why they're applying all these restrictions. They're highly regulating it. In some countries, uh-huh. they've banned Bitcoin. Banned Bitcoin. You can't even access your exchanges, uh-huh. your wallets. And a lot of people have been picking up on this story. I think Karen Hunt uh-huh. did an article on the on the FTX scandal. I mean, I've not been too heavily involved in that research, but yeah, I mean, they are demonizing crypto, and you've got all these people that are saying, well, Bitcoin is the answer. You know, this wouldn't happen if we just all moved to Bitcoin. But no, I think the globalists have already, you know, they will shut down exchanges. They will make it extremely difficult for you to access your assets. They also can influence the markets, and the Bitcoin price is tumbled. You know, and people are, and you've spoken about this. That, you know, people are losing money, and they're going to make it worthless. You know, and we're going to be pinned into a corner to accept this new cashless society, and there won't be an alternative.
And of course, the justification is it's for your protection. Yes, it's for your protection. In other words, we can do whatever the hell we like as long as we add that little phrase in, for your protection. Do you know what? We're out of time, believe it or not. The time has flown by. Always great to see you. Always great to have you on the show. I really appreciate your time. I know you're feeling a little bit poorly and you've been busting your ass with that website, truthtalk.uk. If you don't look at any other website outside of tntradio.life today, truthtalk.uk. Follow Seek at Seek for Truth. Hope you have a great weekend, and that you and I will stay in contact as normal. Listeners, hope you've enjoyed the show. Murray in the studio, thanks for doing your wizardry. I'll be back on Monday, all being well, with more Locked and Loaded. Have a great weekend.